Hi, everyone. I'm Greg Harton, editorial page editor of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Welcome to the Know the News podcast for the weekend of September 16th through 18th. Here in just a moment, I'll talk with my guest about the high costs and shortage of housing in Northwest Arkansas and what influence local government might have on the issue. But first, I want to tell you about some of the stories that we've got coming up this weekend in the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Of course, we will have excellent coverage of the Arkansas BYU football game at Razorback Stadium. Saturday's edition is going to preview that game, and of course, there's going to be full coverage of the game in Sunday's edition with some follow-ups on Monday, too. In Saturday's edition, you can count on coverage of the area's high school football games, including Kansas City Rockhurst visiting Bentonville High, Shiloh Christian playing Lincoln Christian, Springdale Harbor's contest against Mustang, Oklahoma, and several others. In What's Up this week, this Sunday, find out more about the second year of the Format Festival in its new location at the Momentary in Bentonville. Make your musical plans for Bikes, Blues, and Barbecue, which is coming up next week in primarily in Rogers and Eureka Springs, and learn why Bernstein and Rachmaninoff fit perfectly together for the Symphony of Northwest Arkansas opener. And get ready for the most iconic double take in theater history when Fort Smith's Little Theater presents Arsenic and Old Lace. And finally, in profiles, meet Jaslyn Sanderson, who is the director of the Museum of Native American History in Bentonville at the surprisingly young age of 24. As most of us know, Northwest Arkansas has a big challenge. It could be classified as a population challenge as the region continues to draw more people, but most of the time it's cast as a housing challenge. Northwest Arkansas lacks enough housing units, and it's driving prices up. That's great for people who already own a home and may one day want to sell it, but many others are simply being priced out of the housing market. This weekend, reporter Stacy Ryburn will tell Democrat Gazette readers about the Fayetteville City Council's effort to come to a greater understanding of the data involved in this housing crunch. City leaders there want to develop plans to make housing both accessible and affordable to more people. For example, crunching the numbers has shown, as it stands right now and projected into the future, that Fayetteville needs about 1,000 new housing units per year for the next 23 years to just keep up with population growth. And 26% of that is estimated to be needed for lower-income residents. My guest today is Duke McClarty. He is Executive Director of Groundwork at the nonprofit Northwest Arkansas Council. That's an effort formerly known as the Workforce Housing Center. Mr. McClarty, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Greg. I certainly feel like a workhorse sometimes, but it's important work, and I'm honored to take it on and be with you today.
First, some context. Would you just tell me briefly about Groundwork's mission?
Sure thing, Greg. Happy to start there, and I think it's important to lead with that context when talking about this issue. Groundwork is hyper-focused at creating housing optionality for those that we rely on every single day. So, these folks that are in our workforce income band, we measure that based on area median income, and we're focused on those that make between 50% and 100% of the area median income. So when you take that into real dollars, this is for a family of four that makes between $46,000 a year and $92,000 a year. So who is this? It's our first responders. It's our teachers. It's our nurses. It's recent college graduates. And all these folks have stable income, and they're professionals, and unfortunately, the real estate in Northwest Arkansas has just passed them by and increased at a pace that outpaces their wage increases. So these folks are having a very difficult time to find a place in the communities that they work, in the communities that they serve. And, you know, they're living outside of those areas and commuting in to do their jobs and commuting home at night. And we just feel it's critically important to provide more options for those folks that doesn't necessarily saddle them with that commute and with those sacrifices that they're currently choosing to make.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned, you know, commuting. I mean, this isn't just housing, about housing. It's about, you know, the congestion that we all face on the roads out there.
Yep.
So is it fair to say that the housing market in Northwest Arkansas just isn't capable on its own of meeting the demand for housing? And why is that?
Oh, I'm sorry, Greg.
Well, I was just asking about, you know, is it fair to say that the housing market simply, you know, isn't capable of meeting the demand? And why is it that we're in that boat?
So, you know, the demand will be met. The market will respond to this demand, but it's how it's delivered and, you know, what our day-to-day lives look like when that demand is met. That I think we all need to be mindful of. You know, the current development trends are pushing, you know, outwards. I mean, there's significant sprawl that has set in the region, and market forces are causing that. So, you know, where groundwork comes into that is in working with our municipalities here to think about and re-examine their zoning, re-examine their development process, to work with our businesses in the region to think about, you know, where their employees are living, the choices their employees are making, and then, you know, start to introduce some best practices, start to introduce some new ideas and development patterns to the region that just haven't been introduced here. Because at the end of the day, this is still a new issue for our region. You know, the solutions that have been tried and true in other areas haven't had to be deployed here. So I think that's on us to raise those best practices, to lead the conversation with our municipalities, to lead it with our employers, and really lead the conversation with our residents. Again, it's a new issue. Our residents are grappling with this, and I think sometimes they don't really know why they're experiencing more congestion. They don't know why they're feeling the squeeze in a way, and in many instances, a more healthy housing market could ease a lot of that tension.
So I get the impression as these discussions go on that that really Northwest Arkansas residents are being told that they're going to have to kind of change their mindset of what housing looks like in Northwest Arkansas. You know, I know I live in a single family home. I've got a front yard and a backyard. You know, it's kind of the traditional kind of living arrangement that I have. And are we basically saying the Northwest Arkansas of 20 years from now is more about, you know, packing more people into smaller space?
I think there is certainly a hearts and minds and expectation kind of recalibration that needs to take place. But I don't know that it takes convincing necessarily, because I think it just, other options, you know, a townhome approach, or, you know, a duplex or triplex approach that's near a downtown, that has not been deployed at scale. And, you know, those that have been built and are available, you know, are in very high demand. So, you know, I think our residents are open to something other than a single family home with that yard and you know, with the maintenance and upkeep that comes with that. So you know, I think there, it's a bit of a Field of Dreams dynamic. If you build it, you know, the folks will come. I think, you know, the younger generation in particular, they're not looking necessarily for a big yard, and they're not looking for a mortgage in many instances. You know, they are looking to proximity to our downtowns, proximity to the trails, proximity to our amenities. And, you know, I think a significant number of residents that are already here are very interested in an alternative location as much as a yard and a single family home.
So you moderated, I think, yesterday a panel on housing up in Bentonville, and I think this was kind of part of the discussion that you know, there are some people in Northwest Arkansas who are listening to the discussion in their local governments and these panel discussions and all, and they think, well, the Northwest Arkansas that I love, that Fayetteville, Rogers, Bentonville, that, you know, Springdale, that I have been around, they're talking about it looking starkly different, you know,
yep.
in the future. And it sounds to me from yesterday's event that there was kind of an acknowledgement of, yes, we need to help people to understand that dealing with the influx of people is a different game.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it that, you know, it is changing. But it's also dramatically different than it was 20 years ago already. And the reality is, you know, if you're not growing as a region, and as a city, you're dying. And there is no neutral position when it comes to migration and growth. And we've got to ensure, you know, Greg, you mentioned 20 years from now, you know, what that looks like. We've got to prepare for the next 20, 30 years. And the Northwest Arkansas that's being built today is the Northwest Arkansas that we're all going to live in the next 20 and 30 years. So, you know, I do think, I don't want it to be taken, though, that you just have to accept this. You know, I think if we are able to add more concentration of homes in certain areas, it will allow us to also designate areas that will remain untouched and will remain protected and, you know, will remain green and open and, you know, thinking of our watersheds and our natural spaces. Those can be protected by concentrating where the development takes place and providing people housing options that doesn't require significantly more sprawl into our natural habitat.
So the thing that rolls around in my head sometimes when this discussion is going on is you know, the question of local government and what it can do about this. You know, local government most of the time is not out there building houses.
Yeah.
So it you know, part of me thinks, well, this, you know, the housing industry needs to solve this problem. But
yep.
but when it comes certainly to affordable housing, this most often ends up a policy discussion in government. And so help me to understand what it is that we should expect, can expect, mm-hmm. from local government to as they attempt to deal with this issue. What, you know, the thing I hear most,
yep.
Or a lot, I guess, is people kind of default to, well, you know, government has lots of money, so let's subsidize housing.
Yep.
I mean, is that the only thing we're talking about here?
Absolutely not. And, you know, I think at some point, you know, that is one of the levers I think local government can pull. But it would not be the first lever that I would advise any of our local governments to pull. I think, you know, the government plays a very active role, just in our day-to-day lives and how we live and how we interact and how our our communities are built. And that's actually where I would start any discussion with the local government, is thinking about their zoning code, thinking about their development process, thinking about, you know, the requirements that they put on new development in their cities. And, you know, really, really think of each of those in isolation. And what are you telling the developer? You know, you think of many of our major thoroughfares throughout the region, and think about what is, what's on those thoroughfares. You know, in most instances, it's commercial businesses, it's retail. And that is a direct result of the zoning that is surrounded surrounding those thoroughfares. You, a developer, could not put a residential development in many places in our region without going through an unpredictable and a bit of a waiver process through any one of our municipalities. You know, when you think of 71B, you think of 265, you think of 112, you know, and 112 is coming along and going to be more of a major thoroughfare. You think of those north-south thoroughfares, you think of our east-west thoroughfares through each of our cities, and there's no housing. And that is because there was a deliberate choice for those to be commercially zoned areas. And so that's what the development community has provided. Beyond that, you know, the cities can play a role in incentivizing developers to produce something that is less than market rate. In other municipalities that have gone through a similar housing crunch, they've done this through offering density bonuses. So that's telling a developer that they can build a larger project if they set aside a percentage of that development for less than a market rate rent or sale price. So, you know, you say if you're willing, developer, to set aside 20% of these units for, you know, a less than market rate return or rent price, will allow you to build a 20% bigger project. And the developer is able to capture some building efficiencies. They're willing to do that because it does make for a more profitable building in the end. But also the municipal code, as it pertains to parking requirements, minimum lot sizes, all of these things impact how a developer approaches a project. And those are all areas that our municipalities can spend time and some levers that they can pull that would produce a greater yield for the developer, but also produce some lower cost housing for our residents.
So just from the outside looking in, you know, as much as I hear this discussion about housing affordability and availability, you know, I think citizens might just assume that cities, you know, are eager to say yes to these sorts of things. But what are the tripping points of cities saying yes to these kind of things you're talking about? I mean, there are always competing interests out there. You know, what is it that, you know, has convinced cities at least this far to not necessarily make that transition into those sorts of policies?
You know, I think, and I'll go back to an earlier comment I made that, you know, this is a new problem. You know, our elected leaders, our city staffs have not had to grapple with these issues in a meaningful way before recently. And that also goes directly to our residents in Northwest Arkansas. They haven't had to grapple with these. So, you know, I sense and I hear from those in our region a little bit of a development fatigue. You know, there's cranes everywhere. There's dump trucks every time you get on the road. And the reality is it's still not enough. You know, so I think our government leaders you know, are sensing that fatigue as well, and just really haven't been pushed to be more aggressive and think about really, again, the 2050 version of Northwest Arkansas, when our population has nearly doubled. You know, we have 1 million people in our region. And really, what does that look like? What are our day-to-day lives feel like when that time comes? And have we done the work? Have we prepared for that now? And, you know, make some tough choices on how are we going to, from a regulatory perspective, further prepare for that.
So the I hear questions that are kind of along these lines from people, admittedly people who have probably lived here for a number of years. You know, instead of kind of making those sorts of changes, should, you know, local government and all that, is there some benefit to saying, you know, we're not going to kill growth, but let's try to do some things that slow down the population growth of Northwest Arkansas a little bit? Why would that not help us?
Well, we've been discovered. It's a great place to be. And, you know, who are we to tell someone that they can't come and be a part of this, is I guess my initial reaction. You know, every day in Northwest Arkansas, we have roughly 9,000 open jobs. And, you know, with our major employers and institutions continuing to grow, that's just not a realistic sure. Proposition.
Okay.
They need to continue to grow. They need to continue to thrive. And we just need to make sure that the region is positioned to absorb that and welcome those folks when they do come.
So, you know, a lot of this also has to do with making sure companies in Northwest Arkansas have the employees and the, you know, and all the service industry has employees that can get to their jobs. You know, what is the responsibility of the employers to try to deal with this issue too? I mean, we do have the Bentonville School District up there that's trying to be innovative and create a kind of a, I guess, a teacher's village of sorts that
mm-hmm.
That would be housing for the teachers that they are trying to hire and bring into Northwest Arkansas, who can't even with the higher salaries that the state has brought in, that they're having trouble keeping people once they see the housing market. So do more employers need to step up and kind of get into that game? And then there's the whole question of wages. What's the responsibility to get wages up to, so that helps with affordability too?
It absolutely does. You know, I my plate is full with the housing work. You know, and I'm It's hard for me to justify getting into a company's operating budget and suggesting, you know, what their wages should be. But, you know, I think the employers in the region are coming to the table and engaged in these conversations in a way that they have not been before. I think through groundwork, we're you know, we are a new work stream under the Northwest Arkansas Council, a, you know, member organization of the business community in Northwest Arkansas. I think this is the business community's response to challenges in recruitment, challenges in retention. And I think we will be offering them in the coming months ways that they can be a little more directly involved and, you know, look forward to sharing more with you about that when that time comes. But, you know, I think we are the end result, or not the end result, but really the first step in the business community's new attention to this issue. And, you know, we're going to give them some ways that they can be more involved for sure.
Sure. So what would be your final advice, at least in context of this podcast, to local leaders and local residents? as this work continues and isn't likely to be fully resolved for some time?
I think it's we've got to keep an eye on you know 2050. We've got to take a long view with this work and understand that the entire region has benefited greatly from the growth that's happened in this region, and acknowledge that that growth in many ways is just beginning, and you know, get comfortable with just kind of a new landscape. Get comfortable with you know, living maybe slightly closer together, but understand that, you know, there's a lot of benefit that's going to come to that or through that, just in amenities and offerings for our residents. You know, through this, we can preserve our green space. We can preserve our natural space. But I'd encourage our elected leaders, you know, to really think about, you know, how your city is going to welcome another, you know, 75 or 100,000 people over the next 20, 25 years, and what needs to be done to make sure that you're ready for them. Because the reality is they're on their way. They don't know it yet in many instances, but all the growth projections predicted, you know, where our population is today. And there's no reason to think that they're wrong when they're doing their forecast for tomorrow.
Well, thank you to Duke McLarty for helping, I guess I'll just say, some of the groundwork for us understanding a little bit more about the housing market out there and the efforts to try to get some affordable housing going. Be sure to look this weekend for Stacy Ryburn's story in the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette.
If you're enjoying this podcast, consider a newspaper subscription to the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette or the River Valley Democrat Gazette. We have a special offer for our podcast listeners, so visit nwaonline.com/podcast23 to get started. You can also click the subscribe button on our websites, nwaonline.com and rivervalleydemocratgazette.com, or call us at 479-684-5509 and be sure to say that you're a podcast listener. Now back to the show.
Other news coverage you can look for includes details about the University of the Ozarks getting ready to begin in October, building a $10.75 million athletic complex that will include new fields for baseball, softball, and soccer. And speaking of construction, we'll have an update on the progress at Northwest Arkansas National Airport, which is undergoing a $34 million renovation project that includes changes to how traffic flows in front of the terminal. So that'll affect everybody that uses the airport. The Crawford County Library Board has hired some legal help as it defends itself against lawsuits over books that it has limited access to. They recently hired a lawyer to help in that lawsuit, and it's probably a name you might be familiar with. There'll be coverage of that this weekend. And we'll tell you about a Fayetteville resident who recently was recognized at a national conference because she worked to pay off $35,000 in credit card debt in the midst of some pretty major life challenges. All that and more will be in this weekend's editions of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette. I'm Greg Harton, the editorial page editor of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette, and I appreciate you joining us for this edition of Know the News.